Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we talk about issues affecting veterans after they get out of the military. Before we get started, I'd like to ask a favor. If you haven't done so already, please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. If you've already done that, thank you. These ratings help the show get discovered so it can reach a wider audience. And while you're there, click the subscribe button so that you get notified of new episodes as soon as they come out. If you don't use Apple Podcasts, you can visit driveonpodcast.com/subscribe to find other ways of subscribing, including our email list. I'm your host, Scott DeLuzio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey everyone, today my guest is Bradley Hecker. Bradley is a law enforcement officer and an EMT. He also teaches law enforcement and military personnel some of the mental and physical skills that they're going to need in order to execute their missions. So Bradley, welcome to the show. Maybe you can tell us a little bit more about your background, what you do, and how you got started doing what you do.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. So it all kind of started right after high school. I grew up in a house with a dad who was a cop and a grandfather who was an Army medic. So I knew I wanted to do something along those lines. Right out of high school, I went to an EMT course through college. And that sort of started to steer the path of the lights and sirens was fun. The high intensity stuff was fun. And I worked on the ambulance for a few years. I had quite a few new EMT students coming onto my ambulance. And I noticed a trend of more and more EMT students who are graduating were telling other EMT students to ride on my ambulance. And they all said that I was a very good preceptor. And I realized there was something there about teaching that I was good at. So I started teaching EMS. And while all that was going on, I finally got the call from the state law enforcement agency that I work for saying, hey, come on down, start the process. And I went forward through the process. And fast forward now, I actually I'm an EMT still. I actually am the team medic for a special unit that I serve on with my law enforcement agency. So it all kind of came roundabout. And it's really cool to start one place, change paths, and then it all kind of connects together. So that's kind of the journey that I've been on.
Yeah, that's awesome to see how all of that blends together and how the skills that you took from, you know, one part of your life and you were able to apply that to your current, career and what you're doing now. So that's pretty awesome to see how all that blends together.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a crazy journey so far, and it's been a pretty short one. It hasn't been all that long, but it happens all very fast.
And so what is it that you're into now in terms of, I know you do some training with some of the EMTs, or you've done that in the past. But what is it that you're doing now in sort of working with the military and law enforcement to kind of keep them on top of their game?
Yeah. So after realizing that I was a pretty good instructor and getting a lot of that also then on the law enforcement side, whether it was helping someone prep for qualifications or someone had a fitness test coming up and I was helping them prepare for that, I started a company called Brad and Bash with a friend of mine, Bash, from back in high school, who purely civilian, but I needed someone who understood the finance world and understood the legalities of starting a company and insurance. And I was strictly the operations side of things. And I said, hey, I have an idea for this company. In a state like New York, where firearm laws are very strict and you can't exactly get the opportunities to train like you could outside in another state, I saw the opportunity here to start this program and see what we could do. And it started off in the beginning with just civilians and law enforcement military personnel that were interested in taking a class, but it wasn't mandatory. It was just, hey, if you want to get better at running an AR platform, the pistol, shotgun, anything of the sort, medical, they could. And slowly it evolved into them bringing that back to wherever they work, whether it's a law enforcement agency or a unit they're a part of. depending on what branch they're in. And they said, hey, you guys got to check this out. And then they sent cadre members to come to the class. And once their cadre saw what we were doing, they said, you know what, we got to get a contract going with these guys. And it's been pretty cool. Recently, the most recent one was we taught the New York City Corrections Department, which is the second largest law enforcement agency in New York. We taught their transport division the AR platform from the get-go, and they've never touched one before. We put it in their hands and we taught them how to not only feel confident with it, but confident enough to use it as opposed to their sidearm. That became their new primary tool. So it was a very cool thing to take someone who's never seen that and make them feel comfortable with it and use it should they need to.
And so is there a physical component to what you do as well, with nutrition, fitness, that type of thing as well? Or is it primarily?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
We do a lot. A lot of it kind of all comes together because unlike conventional, I won't use names of other companies, but some of their classes are very static, stand still at a target. That's not the reality of it. And, I would say that majority of people listening to your show who've been out there, whether they were combat arms or a support MOS, they understood what it was like. They went through basic. They learned to be a soldier first, right? Mm-hmm. And going through all those challenges, they realized that was a big part of it the entire time. You have to be physically fit, and physical fitness also leads to mental fitness, right? When you are struggling through your day, that's a very challenging goal. If you get into a very sedentary lifestyle, you don't really have any mental fitness to gain through each day. But establishing a goal like physical fitness, which may not seem like much, it's, it may be the same routine that you're kind of doing, but it's a challenging goal, and putting yourself through that keeps yourself mentally fit. So having that physical and mental fitness is a mandatory requirement, especially in today's world right now with the way things are going. At any second, it could basically turn into a combat zone, a war zone on a smaller scale for that officer who's out there. So it is super important to keep your head on a swivel and maintain that level, if not exceed that level that you're already at, of physical and mental fitness to get there. For sure. So a lot of the drills we run, they're not static at all. It requires dragging a dummy 50 yards and then taking shots from different positions and then pulling someone out of a car and carrying them 30 yards forward. And we do a bunch of different drills to kind of simulate what they would experience in real world and hopefully over prepare them, so whatever they do experience is not as bad.
For sure. Yeah. And I guess the goal is to never have to actually use any of this type of training in a real world environment where you're actually dragging someone out of a car or whatever the case may be, where they're injured or incapacitated in some way. So hopefully these people never have to use it, but the mental preparation that they need to get into, so that they know what to do, so that they don't freeze and panic. That's certainly valuable, but also realizing how much of a physical challenge it is to do that type of thing is certainly probably a challenge as well for a lot of these people, and probably an eye opener if they've never done some of this stuff with dragging a dummy or even
it definitely is. And I think for even some of the guys who are like total meatheads in my classes, who they're showing up and their shirt is ripping right off their body, but they don't realize because they've been used to conventional weightlifting, which is not the reality of dead weight of a person. Right. So you have to really teach your body to work in different ways. And there's certain suggestions that I make. I personally do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu twice a week, just because you hit muscles you'll never hit. Besides learning a martial art, learning to grapple, which is extremely important because every non-compliant arrest, I should say, in law enforcement goes to the ground. So that teaches you to use your body in a different way than you're used to. And obviously it's a major part of fitness. My first few months in Brazil Jiu-Jitsu, I was so sore because I've never experienced muscle soreness in that way.
Right. Yeah. And from what I understand too, is that, like you said, that they're using muscles that you just don't typically use in those types of movements when you're on the floor and doing jiu-jitsu that way too. So a lot of the listeners of this show are veterans, and I kind of want to circle back to some of the fitness aspect of it. And because when you're in the military, there's a big effort, probably very similar to law enforcement. There's an effort to keep folks in shape. But after you get out of the military, you sort of have to rely on your own willpower. People can come up with all sorts of excuses, like they just can't find the time or they can't afford a gym membership, things like that. So what advice do you have for people like that who might be in that type of situation?
I think the most difficult thing is once you find yourself in that situation, the longer that you're there, the easier it becomes to find those excuses, like you just mentioned, whether right. I can't find the time or I can't afford it. There's always a way when you want it bad enough, there's always a way to get whatever you want. And physical fitness is something that look at quarantine right now, how many gyms have been closed across the world, at least this country alone. And people are making it work and you're finding mm-hmm. different ways. The most important thing I would say is if you're not motivated enough and you were kind of reliant on whether it was a, you know, NCO who was on you about physical fitness or find that battle buddy, right? That was the whole thing that kept you going. Then you relied on your battle buddy and they relied on you. Find someone in the outside world. And if necessary, I think it's even better to find someone who is in that same lifestyle that you were in, because they'll understand it. A lot of people are not going to understand not having the motivation or not understanding why they can't get someone motivated the same way a drill sergeant could in basic. You know, right. That's a very intimidating thing. And most people don't understand that mentality and they need that extra push. And it's not wrong to need that extra push. It usually is why people are shaped in such a disciplined way after that. And once you fall out of it, because slowly they start to give you that freedom. And once you have your own true freedom, right, you get that DD214 and now it's you're on your own again. It becomes very easy to, you know what? I just got out a week ago. Why would I work out right now? I want to enjoy myself a little bit. I want to start drinking beer nonstop. You know, I get it. So it's very easy to find yourself off that route. And I would say the battle buddy is probably the number one option to keep yourself motivated. And it's also going to keep you even motivated, because if someone else is having the same issue and you're pushing them, that's motivation for yourself without realizing it. Cause you're trying to get them to the gym. So you just trying to get them to the gym means that you're going to have to be there too.
Right. So, yeah. You can't get to the gym and then like not show up yourself. Like
right.
that would be the wrong thing. And honestly, like to me, like the gym could be good, and I'm not like knocking going to the gym or getting a gym membership at all, but like you said, one of the downsides is you could be faced with a situation like we're in now where gyms just have to be closed and you can't rely on the gym to be there. But I also see how it can also be used as a crutch, or maybe more of an excuse to not exercise. You know, like for example, like if it's snowing outside and you don't want to get in the car and drive to the gym, so you're just going to stay in your nice warm bed and, you know, or maybe you only have an hour to exercise or something like that. And it takes you 15 minutes to drive to the gym and you're like, oh, I'm just not going to do it today, you know? And so you can almost use the gym as an excuse to not exercise if you allow yourself. You know, the gym is good and it should be you know, something that you continue to use if that's what you want to use for exercising, but you know, don't let that become an excuse either to not exercise. You know, if it's snowing out and you don't want to drive there, it doesn't mean that you can't find some exercises that you could do at home and stuff like that to continue to exercise.
Absolutely. I think the original fitness was calisthenics. It was just start off with people walking, right? People running, they're training. If you're training strictly for a sprinting marathon runner thing, you don't need a treadmill, right? You're just running on the ground. If you're training for weightlifting and you don't have weights, you know, get creative. What objects are around you? And the nice thing about objects around you that aren't conventional weights is that weight distribution isn't there. So now you're getting that new muscle soreness that you never experienced before, right? You're lifting awkward objects, a backpack filled with heavy textbooks that maybe your kid uses for school. Not anymore, because you're using them for weightlifting. you know, you have options like that, as well as just push-ups. How many times did you have to get on your face? You know, that's exactly what it is. That they work for a reason. And there's different kinds of push-ups, and luckily in today's world, YouTube is a wonderful thing. And there are so many things that you can learn off of YouTube, exercises you didn't know existed, even stretching. When you feel that tightness and you're like, wow, I didn't know that was possible to get rid of, you learn it because of YouTube. I would say majority of people learn a lot of things through YouTube now that they didn't even learn in school or in a classroom environment. That goes a long way, but you can definitely get creative. And like you said, it becomes another reason to say I'm not going to work out since the gym is closed. And that's where that determination is going to come in. And if you don't have it yourself, find someone else who's going to push you equally and use that together.
Yeah. And so you briefly mentioned a little bit earlier about how exercise and your physical fitness can have some pretty significant benefits outside of the obvious physical benefits. Could you talk a little bit about that? Some of the, maybe the mental benefits and things like that, that come from exercise and being in good physical shape.
Yeah, absolutely. So starting off, like I mentioned earlier, when you are physically fit, you are going to be mentally fit. Now, not completely mentally fit, but you are going to start to increase your mental fitness. There can always be certain distractions that are always going to stay there, right? That are going to affect your mental fitness, but accomplishing a difficult task helps you feel better about how your day is going. Any difficult task. So if you had something at work, a project at work that has been on your mind for a long time, once you accomplish that project, it's kind of a relief. It's a let go. And that's exactly what physical fitness can do. There are a lot of stressors that can build up in the human body. And physical fitness is actually one of the number one ways, according to studies, to release those stresses. Release a lot of the chemicals that are bottled up inside your brain. Similar to like when you experience certain things in life that cause that same chemical release. So physical fitness is an easy way to target because we know exactly what's going to happen when you work out. On top of that, there are a lot of times when you're feeling down, you're feeling out, and you're feeling sluggish is a number one thing that happens. A lot of people feel sluggish, and especially if you were in the military and you remember what it used to be like when you could run, and now you're walking up one flight of stairs and you're huffing and puffing, you're starting to say, what happened? And I think a lot of times what deters people is they try to get back into it and they forget the struggle it took to get to that point. And they start right from where they left off. And it's a big setback because you say, I can't do this. This is too much. Set those small goals, and those small goals will add up to where you were at. And along the way, each one of those small goals that you accomplish are another thing that make you feel better. And feeling better leads to that better mental fitness.
For sure. Yeah. And I think I've shared on this podcast before in another episode, but a while ago, a couple of years ago, I challenged myself to do 50,000 push-ups and sit-ups during the course of a year. And it wasn't exactly a year. It was actually a little bit less because I started a few months into the year. But by the end of the year, I wanted to do 50,000 push-ups and sit-ups. And there were some days where I just didn't want to wake up and do the push-ups and the sit-ups. And like I knew I had like a certain amount that I would do every single day. And I did the math out, and like by the end of the year, I would be good to go if I did that much. But if one morning I decided to wake up and just not do it and just skip it, I knew it would be impossible to hit that goal without doubling up the next day or, you know, increasing what I was doing the next day. So I did it. I woke up every single day. I did the pushups. I did the sit-ups, and it was a small little achievement that I made that day, towards the bigger picture of hitting this big goal of the pushups and sit-ups at the end of the year. And to me, each day that I did it, like, yeah, I woke up feeling like, ah, crap, I don't want to do this. But after doing it, I felt good that I accomplished something. And it was just that little thing. I mean, it was, you know, I think it was like 150 of each, you know, 150 sit-ups, 150 push-ups each day. And it was at first pretty difficult for me to do because I hadn't really done very many push-ups or sit-ups at that point, but it started getting easier over time. And it just became that accomplishment that I hit early on in the day. And then I hit the rest of the day running with knowing that I can accomplish anything I set my mind to, you know, even these difficult things or things that I just didn't want to do, I could sit down and actually do it because I gave myself that confidence by doing that. So that's kind of like what you're saying.
Yeah. It's absolutely that. It's exactly that. And on top of that, tell me that those days where it was a struggle to start off, but you finally got that over with, didn't feel better than days where you woke up feeling great and said, you know what, let me bang these out and get them over with. It's a totally different feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, because you know, you would wake up and you have that sluggish feeling. Like I just want to hit the snooze button. I want to keep sleeping for another, you know, hour or whatever it was. And, then you force yourself to get out of bed and it sucks. And that doesn't feel good while you're doing that. Like I get that. But afterwards, once when it's done, the energy is flowing. I'm up, I'm moving, I'm ready to go. It's early enough in the morning that I'm up before my wife, my kids and things like that. And so the day I was just hitting the ground running, starting off my day that way. And it really helped me help my mental state that day too. And it was so much better to actually be able to achieve those.
Absolutely. And the physical fitness side of it, when you're working out that consistently, your body's going to fall into a rhythm. It's going to want to sleep. A lot of people who have trouble sleeping, and that's why they have mental issues. When your body forces you to fall asleep, right, it starts to fall into a schedule. You're getting true sleep, right? You're hitting REM cycle sleep, which is super important. So when you're hitting that, you're waking up, you're forcing yourself up, you fall into that cycle. And when you're getting proper sleep, you're getting proper nutrition, another big part of it. A lot of people hate that part of it. You can't just lift weights and eat junk and expect to get results. But when you keep the nutrition, the sleep, and the working out is there, your mental fitness will be through the roof. It's incredible. And then once you're at that point, what you can accomplish mentally is that's the biggest blockade is pushing through that part. It's not the physical part, right? Your body can go a lot further than your mind can. Right. So once you get into that rhythm, it's amazing how far you can get.
Yeah, absolutely. And there was a Navy SEAL a while ago, and I'm drawing a blank on his name. I'll try to look that up later on. But he had what he called the 40% rule. And what that was is when your mind has told you, I've had enough, I quit, I'm done. You know, maybe you're lifting weights or maybe you're running or whatever, and you're just, your body feels like it's smoked and it can't do anymore. What his theory was with this 40% rule is that you've only done about 40% of what your body is actually capable of doing at that point. And of course, that number varies person to person. Someone might be a lot more resilient and can push themselves a little bit further. But for the average person, they've really only done about 40% of what their body is actually truly capable of doing. It's really just your mind getting in the way and screwing you up that way. So
yeah, absolutely. That can't be further from the truth. That is majority of the time why people give up is because they just physically don't feel, oh, this hurts, I can't keep going. But you can. And that's you absolutely could. Correct. Yeah.
And I even saw that in my own life. The first time I ran a half a marathon, to me, I had never ran that far before. And so it was sort of this big daunting task to move myself that 13 point whatever miles. And when I got, gosh, when I got about like 8 or 9 miles in, I was like, I don't know if I could keep doing it, you know, and I got another 4 miles left and I don't know that I could keep going. But then I started taking a look at it as like 1 mile is easy to run. And so I just took a look at it as 1 mile at a time.
Yep.
And I could just, okay, I ran that mile. Now I'm just going to do it one more time. I'm just going to go run one more mile.
That's it.
And then I'm just going to run.
You can always do one more. That was a big thing. When I went through the police academy, that was a big thing. One of the cadre members kept saying, he said, all you got to do is one more push-up. Maybe it's 25 times, maybe it's 50 times, but it's only one more. You could always do one more. Right. And that mentality, it really can drive you.
It certainly could. Yeah. And like you were saying, like push-ups or something like that, like one push-up is not impossible to do.
Anybody
like
could do one push-up. That's it.
Exactly. Right. And you could push yourself to do that. Even if you haven't done them in years, you know, since you got out of the military, you know, for me, it's almost 10 years now that I've been out of the military and, you know, I could still do a push-up. I could do many push-ups one time, you know, if you think about it that way, you know, you started talking a little bit about diet and nutrition earlier. How does that play into your overall fitness level?
So it's actually going to be more important than physical fitness itself. You can't have one without the other. But when it breaks down to percentage, it's somewhere around 80% nutrition, 20% physical fitness is the breakdown for a healthy lifestyle. Because you'll see there's many people who don't work out, but they're in fairly good physical shape. And that's just because they're giving their body the proper nutrition it needs and nothing more. It's
right.
And it's so easy in today's world because it's cheaper and it's more convenient to get a lot of fast food, to get a lot of processed food, sugar. It's readily available. And the healthy stuff is usually more expensive, or it's a little bit more out of the way. Or if, you know, you're in a rush, it's easy to grab a quick burger from a drive-thru than it is to make a salad. And I'm not a salad person at all. I don't enjoy salads. So I find other ways to get that same nutrition that I would need in a healthy way of doing it.
Yeah, and that actually does make a lot of sense because I do know some people who are like the people that you're talking about who they don't really exercise all that much, but they do eat healthy and they look healthy. You know, they're not overweight and they have a, you know, good physical you know, appearance as far as, you know, their body's concerned and things like that. So it makes a lot of sense. And I heard someone tell me a little while ago that they were talking to their doctor about their weight, and their doctor said that you can't outrun the fork. Like you can exercise all you want, but those calories, you know, you can easily eat more than you could possibly burn off by running, unless you're just constantly running or swimming or, you know, whatever the case may be. But the bottom line is you're not going to go for a 5 mile run and burn off all the cake and the ice cream and the cookies and the donuts and everything else that you're eating.
It's absolutely true. A calorie is a calorie, and where you get it from is not going to make the difference. But a donut that contains 1,000 calories, you know, and celery, which is almost negative calories, you burn more calories chewing it than you do gain anything from it. So you can see how much food you can actually eat. So for someone who says they like to eat a lot, you can put a lot of food into your body in one day, but putting the right food, which is low calorie, but the proper nutrition, the proper macros that you need, are going to set yourself up for success.
Now, someone who maybe doesn't know what the right amount of food or the right kinds of food or things like that, and I imagine it might be a little bit different for each person in terms of what their calorie needs are, depending on their lifestyle. You know, if they have an active job or things like that, someone in the military or law enforcement or something like that might be a little bit more physically active than someone who's working an office job where they're sitting behind a desk for 8 hours a day. How would someone go about figuring that type of stuff out so that they know what the appropriate amount of food or types of food are for them?
Sure. Well, like I said earlier, there's an infinite amount of information on the internet. It's a wonderful place. YouTube is a wonderful place. The thing that you have to be careful of is falling into these fad diets. You know, there's a lot, it's very easy to say, you know, oh, low carb is the way. Everybody says low carb, right? You want to get good because everybody knows protein is good for you and carbs are the enemy. But if you are one of those people who have one of those high intensity jobs, you're on your feet all day, you work construction, you're carrying a lot of heavy things, carbs are energy. You rely on them. So if all of a sudden you're starting to feel sluggish, you know, you're starting to lose weight, you're not losing healthy weight. You're not losing the weight appropriately. You're starving your body. You're depleting it of what it needs. So when it comes to nutrition, it is very important to speak to someone in your area, whether it be your primary care physician or a nutritionist or a dietitian. They can set you on the right path for your body mass index, right? For your weight. I had a friend who was a bodybuilder, truly like ripped, jacked beyond belief. And when he was weighing in the police academy, he was listed as, obese. And everybody laughed, but
probably not an ounce of fat on them. Right?
Exactly. It's exactly that, because they're going by a standard which can't be applied unless it's the average person who is very minimally physically fit.
Right. And so kind of to wrap all this up and tie everything together here, what would be some advice that you might have for someone who's struggling with their health or fitness, maybe even their mental health in terms of, you know, feeling that kind of low energy, sluggish and that type of thing. Maybe someone who's struggling to find the motivation to exercise, or maybe they even feel like they're doing all the right things, just aren't seeing the results. What kind of advice might you have for them?
I think the best advice I'm going to have is going to be ask for that help from whoever you think is going to be able to provide you that help. You know, a lot of times I think people get very frustrated. They see their friend on Instagram or Facebook, some social media platform who likes to post their workout of the day, and they're dripping sweat with their six pack showing. And they're talking about how they just, you know, completed a Tough Mudder or some really difficult physical challenge. A lot of people who are not in that shape are don't want to admit that they're intimidated by that. And they're I don't want to see this post anymore. This guy is so annoying. And you start blocking them out. Embrace them. They're the answer, because they were probably where you are. And the reason they want to get physically fit is to accomplish those tasks. Maybe it was to show it off. You want to show off something you're proud of. You bought a brand new Corvette. You want to show that off. It's the same thing. You worked really hard on your tasks, which in your case may be physical fitness. Show it off. It's a good mentality. And you never know who you're going to motivate after that. So those same people that might be frustrating, embrace them. Hey, what are your secrets? What are you doing? That guy in the barracks during basic, whose bed was, his rack was perfectly made. What are you doing that I can't get this fold down? Same thing. You go to them and ask them what they're doing. It's that same mentality. Ask. Ask for help from people who seem to know what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great advice, I think, for, I mean, not just fitness or any of that type of stuff. It's really good advice for anything. You know, if you see someone who is, you know, hitting out of the park with whatever it is that they're doing, and you want to be in that position, yeah, ask them. You know, go in and say, hey, what is it that you're doing that is making this look so damn easy? You know, but asking for help is an okay thing to do. And I think one thing, though, I will caution people of is if you are relying on social media for checking out what other people are doing and things like that, and you're comparing yourself to that, just know that nobody posts their B or C game on there. It's all their A game.
It's so always, if you're comparing that, absolutely.
If you're comparing that and feeling inadequate or, you know, whatever, they screwed up too from time to time, and they just don't post that stuff.
The people that usually influencers, and this does fall into myself because I do try to influence people into positive things, into the lifestyle that I live, if they feel that they relate to my lifestyle. You're always going to post that. The most motivational ones are the ones who post their down days, but you don't see them too often because that's not the money shot that they're trying to portray. So keep in mind, like you said, that they're never going to post, or very rarely are they going to post what they're going through. But when you see shows like The Biggest Loser, where you're seeing the before and you're watching the journey, those are the ones that truly are looking to motivate you, because they want to show you they've been there and they understand for sure what you're going through.
Yeah. And they've definitely been there, and they know what's going on. So, so you mentioned your company, the company name, the Brad and Bash, company is, before we wrap up, do you want to tell people where they can find more information about what it is that you do and the services that you offer, or you know, how to get in touch with you?
Yeah, absolutely. The best way to reach out to us in today's world of social media, our Instagram is our number one thing. It's at Brad and Bash. That's BradandBash. You can also visit our website, bradandbash.com. If you're interested in anything related to firearms, medicine, tactical training, it's all right there. We have classes that we travel around the country doing. We do them mostly in the tri-state area, but we do go down south towards Florida. We've done some stuff in Texas, and we pop up regularly. So if you're a part of an organization that's voluntary, or it's a government organization, you're interested in having us come out and teach whatever it is, our cadre members vary all across from military, law enforcement, special units, SWAT teams, some Rangers that we have. So there's a lot of guys with a lot of different experience from different areas that we all try to bring together a program that's best suited for what you're looking for. And that can include physical fitness if necessary. We do have some certified trainers on our staff.
Wonderful. So I'll have links to all of this in the show notes, so anyone who's listening can find it there, and it'll be there. You know, after this episode is posted and long after, so you can always come back and find it through the show notes there. So thank you again for joining me. Really enjoyed the conversation, enjoyed the advice that you had, and I think this type of stuff can really help some people out. So thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to check out more episodes or learn more about the show, you can visit our website, driveonpodcast.com, or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Drive On Podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.